You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently, by using more sustainable practices, by developing better technologies, we keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
Welcome back to another episode of Millennial Money. It's kind of weird. My voice is now. I'm just kidding, guys. Welcome back to another episode, and we got a special guest today.
Who's that?
Yeah.
Who is that? It's Andre, everybody. Yeah.
Awesome. Dad. Welcome. Kevin is back, guys. Austin Eckler.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Running back of the Chargers. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
We're going to talk some money, football, and everything that goes on with all that. So.
That's great.
Yeah, and Graham, man, are you still getting torn up in this market? Because I feel like I am still getting tore up. Well, until today. Today was a good day.
I'm getting torn up everywhere. I had to move my car off the street.
What happened with your car,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, so Jeremy comes in. The first thing he's like, you move your car. So I have this, it's a 2005 Volvo, and it's not like the prettiest looking thing, but it's like, it works. And anyway, the neighbor requested that I move the car. And it was actually a warning because the HOA is now towing cars that stay out on the street past midnight.
Whoa, yeah. Towing cars.
So it was a courtesy sort of like, hey, this is what the HOA just said, giving you a heads up. After tonight, they're going to start towing.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, man.
I wonder if it was a Lamborghini if they would have towed it.
Yeah, they're like, cars under 50K, we're towing.
Volvo from 2005, that's gone.
Yeah, it was a car I paid $1,000 for, and I've never washed it. So it's just whatever it is, whatever it looks like at the time, that's how I drive it. And the windshield wipers just like are so worn out that they don't work anymore. So you get like splatters of dirt and stuff. But I love the car. It's
that's
great.
Cool.
It still works.
How many miles they got on that thing?
130 something thousand.
Not bad.
It's not bad for a 2005. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You love the car and you never clean it.
Yeah,
you said you love
car.
It, but you never clean it.
No,
that's not. The same thing as Tesla.
Oh my gosh, Grim, that's just disrespectful.
I haven't watched that either. No, I love cars. It's difficult here because I don't have a hose to like wash the car myself in the front. You have to run it from the back. And it's like you'd have to get like an 80-foot hose to do that. It's just too much. Otherwise, I would.
What if there was a $3 car wash like they built like right down the street? Would you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
you're not $3? Supposed to do that, though, with a wrap on it. So
that's right.
You could scratch up the wrap.
Jeremy's like, I don't have time to wash a car. I'll just get a new one.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it, okay? Where's my bar of silver?
I think that we all are getting torn up in the market.
Yeah. It's been rough. Today was a good day. Let's hope it stays good. If you guys don't know, tomorrow's Fed supposed to raise rates.
Half a percent?
Yep,
50 basis points, yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's scared. If they do 75 basis points, everybody's going to lose their mind. Let's hope that doesn't happen. And but I think the more important date, May 11th. Because May 11th, that's when the new inflation data comes out. And basically, we've been on a runaway train for like the last 18 months.
That'll
it just gets worse and worse.
What do you think? Yeah. It'll be higher or lower?
I'm hoping it's finally going to break trend. I expect either this past month or next month to break trend, and we're going to start going down as far as the increase of inflation. So this past month was 8.5%. I think either this past month or next month we'll go down to like an 8 or a 7.5 or something, which would be huge for the market because everybody's...
Place your bets, higher or lower than last month.
Austin, what do you think?
What do you think?
Lower.
Lower.
Ooh. Why do you say lower?
No, I have no... I that was a flip of the coin.
Okay. Heads or tails? Tails. All right, there you go.
Hey, fun fact. Yeah. Did you guys know the last time the Fed increased rates by 50 basis points, I think was in May of 2000?
What?
The last time we increased 50 basis points was 20 years ago.
What in the world?
Yep.
Jeez.
What were we doing back in, when did they start raising rates again?
They're all quarter percents.
They're all quarters. Mm-hmm. They could do a quarter again. I mean, we don't know necessarily. I think they're trying to prep.
The market's pricing in a 99% chance it'll be a 50 basis points.
Yeah.
Crazy.
But I think once they do that, then the market's going to go up after, because people are kind of get it out of the way. Right. Like, oh, wow. Okay. 50. We expected that. Hopefully.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I heard something like Volcker back in the day did a 2% on a weekend, which is crazy to think about. Imagine 200 basis points on the weekend. It's like, oh yeah, we're raising it 2%. Like the market literally would have a meltdown if we did that nowadays.
Yeah.
Like everybody's like, oh, we're doing 50 basis points. Imagine 200 basis points on a Sunday. Like, oh yeah, we're moving it up, baby.
Yeah. Before we get it too into the weeds, we should probably like talk to our guests sometime.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, awesome. Yeah. Mr. Eckler. So, no, so, I don't know, you know, how many folks know, but this is the man. Okay. Austin Eckler. So he's got an incredible story. And, you know, Graham and Andre, I know you guys don't watch football a lot. So the traditional path to what Austin Eckler is, you know, is in the NFL is like you're a five-star recruit, means like you're best in high school. You go to a massive college like a University of Alabama, University of Georgia, LSU, somewhere like that. Then you're drafted in the first, second, third round. You become a starter in the NFL, right? Okay. That's like the traditional path. And I'll let you tell your story a little bit, Austin, but your story is not that story. It's incredible.
No, I always like to say I took the stairs.
Right? You know, took the not stairs. The elevator.
Didn't take the elevator, right? And I think there's more to be learned from that type of story, because I think it just makes you a more well-rounded person, right? Because you've gone through a little bit more adversity. Yeah. And through my story, my beginning, I started in Colorado. I'm from Colorado, grew up on in a little farm town, grew up on a ranch. And didn't really pay attention to any pro sports or anything like that, right? It was just mainly just working out. And then my mom's ex-husband had a fencing company, so it was a bunch of manual labor. And I was just like, there's no way I'm gonna be doing manual labor for the rest of my life, you know? Like,
dude, when I heard fencing, I was thinking that sport where you like,
that's why I was like, fencing for this?
Like, fencing? He's like, no, that's what I meant.
So imagine, like, you know, the railroad tracks, right?
Yeah.
Like, this guy would get 26 mile long barbed wire fencing jobs for the railroad.
Whoa.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Like, some grueling manual labor, right?
Yep.
And so that's what summers consisted of. So it definitely taught me how to work hard. So I brought that, you know, work ethic to sports. And that was something that I actually like used to as a getaway from that, right?
Yeah.
I slowly built myself up into the college. Didn't go to a D1, had zero D1 offers, anything like that.
Wait, what's a D1 offer?
So like a Division I school, like your Texas A&M, like UNLV here, you know, like the bigger colleges. So I went to a really tiny college.
Okay.
It was 2,300 students in my entire university.
Wow.
It was always so tiny.
Yeah.
I think that's like my high school.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say, high schools are bigger.
Yeah. So went from tiny town to tiny town. But one thing that I guess you can't really measure is someone's passion for just like to push themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I had to push me and set me apart from everyone. Because regardless of what the outcome was, I just wanted to make sure that I put everything out there and I had no regrets about going into it. And that's what it was for me going into high school, going into college. And then my junior year, my head coach comes to me. He's like, you know, you might have a chance to play in the league. Did pretty well for my first 3 years. I was like, yeah, like, but I just was really focused on that moment. I was focused on my education. I was a business major, going into energy management, and then, you know, I was focused on football as well. But I just wanted to focus on that moment, because that was my current opportunity, right? And sure enough, after my senior year, ended up signing an agent and then went undrafted, which means his team never selected me. I basically selected a team to try to get on, and they ended up taking me in. It was the Chargers. And then I was sixth string on the depth chart. So
what does that mean?
So that means there's five people in front of me fighting for the same position, right? There's a lot of us trying to do the same thing.
Wait, Austin, how do they test you? Like, how do you try out? Like, what does it consist of?
So basically all of your college film is a tryout to get you to the point where you can get in front of a scout. So they look all your college, then you have to get invited to these tryouts called pro days. Mm-hmm. And at pro days, you basically do a bunch of drills, whether it's jumping, running, some agility work, just to show like how agile or how, you know, even smart you are. They take you through tests and things like that.
Wow.
IQ test. And so you go through all these tests, and then that basically becomes your profile. And since I went to such a small school, they're like, oh, you didn't really have a lot of talent that you played against, because you're playing against all these tiny towns,
right?
You know? So that was a big factor. People were like, what's wrong with this kid? Like, is he not educated? Like, does he not get it? Like, is he slow? And it ended up being none of those. Like, I was, you know, as far as the league goes, and pretty intelligent. And, you know, just my level of passion and effort was at, it was there. So I was like, all right, I got my opportunity. And then, like I said, I was sixth string, but ended up making the team barely. And then led some statistics in my first year in the NFL, and then pretty much solidified myself from there.
Wow.
So yeah. What did you do your first year to like make a name for yourself?
Yeah, man. So I pretty much dedicated literally everything to that opportunity. I actually ended up dropping out before my last semester. So I finished my football career and then dropped out that last semester just to go all in on my opportunity. Cause coach is like, look, man, you might have this. And I was like, okay, I can come back and finish my school after, but I just want to literally put every ounce of my energy into this opportunity. So I went and got a professional trainer, and I was training with some other guys that were prospects, and dumped all of my energy into it, and then ended up making the team, or yeah, getting on a team. And then it was the same thing. It just carried over, right? Where I was staying as long as I could, talking to coaches as long as I could, just committing myself to this. Cause at the end of the day, I just wanted to make sure that whatever happens, that I had everything. There's nothing else I could have done. Like, mm-hmm. It wasn't because Austin Eckler didn't try enough. It was because he didn't have what it takes to make it if I didn't make it, mm-hmm. right? And that wasn't the case. Ended up taking advantage and just basically slowly making plays here and there that stood out to the coaches enough that they're like, oh, yeah, this guy can make our roster. Because when we come in, there's 90 of us, and it gets cut down to 53. And at my position, there's only three people that make it. So
wow.
Like I said, I was sixth string on the depth chart, so I had to beat out a bunch of other guys. But it was really just my dedication that just stood me apart.
And did you even have like a star rating in high school?
That was okay.
So to explain to you guys, basically, if you don't have a star rating coming out of high school, it's almost 0% chance you have of making it to the NFL. That's like such a detriment, right?
Wait, you say a star rating?
Yeah.
So I can explain a little bit. Yep. So basically, there's recruiters for college that basically recruit a lot of people that are playing football as far as the bigger schools, and they'll put like a rating on you based off of who you're playing, your competition level, how well you're doing, and one star being the worst to five stars being the best. And so when other colleges are coming in to see you, they see your stamp basically, and they know, you know, that has accredited, you know, score of to what type of caliber player you are.
Got it.
Yeah. And so like an NFL team will, I mean, the way that people look at it is if a guy's a five star, there's a pretty good chance they'll make the NFL. That's right. The way that you at least people think about it, right? They just need to perform in college, do your thing, and you'll get in. And so he went against the grain every step of the way, like that, and then a small college, and then somehow even getting a chance on a team's amazing.
Right.
Most people don't even ever get a chance.
That would make sense, because if you're a recruiter, you're not going to waste your time with thousands of people if they're not even rated. You're just like, I can't get through everyone.
The football factory works so good for the NFL because you get everybody to sift through the high school kids, and then those kids are sifted through in college. And so by the time the NFL, I mean, the chance of, you know, somebody like Austin making it is so slim.
When do you start? Like, when does your rating start? Like, when does your portfolio start building? Is it in a high school?
It's in high school, yeah. Wow. And so my school was so small that they just didn't even bother, like, coming to, like, check us out.
That's insane. So what made the difference? Like, how were you able to stand out so much?
In high school, I had amazing numbers. Like, I was doing very well. I was scoring, like, 4 or 5 touchdowns a game, which is very good.
That's insane. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't the stats. So I was really confused, actually, coming out. I was like, okay, well, you know, I'll go to Division II route, which is the smaller school that was coming to me. Ended up getting a small scholarship. You don't, like, at the big schools, you get a full ride scholarship. It's paid for everything, right? And you get, like, a stipend and stuff like that. But at the small schools, it's all partial. So I was like, all right, well, at least get some aid with school, right?
That's so cool. So that first contract that you got when you went pro,
yeah.
What did they say? Like, they just made you an offer? Did you negotiate?
So basically, if you're coming in undrafted like I did, it's set in stone. It's like, here you go. Here's minimum for 3 years.
Mm-hmm. What's that minimum?
The minimum when I was a rookie was $465,000.
A year or for term?
A year.
That's pretty good.
The minimum now.
How old were you then? Like 21?
21, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's so crazy.
Yeah. The minimum now is $630,000.
Inflation.
Yeah.
Right, it's jumped up.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a 3-year deal. So it was like $1.2 million, for the three years if I was on the team for that long.
Yep.
Wait, so you took that deal. Did you do it for 3 years or
I'm going in year 6 now.
Wow. So I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
This is Wikipedia. I don't know how accurate it is. But you signed a deal for, I want to say 4 years.
Yeah.
For $24.5 million?
Yeah. That was
Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was epic, man. Yeah,
that's so cool.
So literally was basically on the bottom of the depth chart and just started working my way up and got into a position where the team like was like, okay, Austin, like you're one of our like standout players. Like we rely on you like to make plays for our team. And I had my third year, my contract, you know, I had a 3 year for my first one, basically was my breakout year. And had the best year I've ever had. And it's actually good to be kind of undrafted in this scenario, because if you're undrafted, you only have 3 years. If you're drafted, you have 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I would have had to play another year on that same contract. So I got to my second contract faster.
Wow.
Which is usually the bigger money. And then, yeah, ended up, you know, just going through the negotiations, and took like a month to like come down between, you know, where they were standing and our standpoint. And we met in the middle. And
I've always been so curious, like, where do you get these standards? Where like you obviously knew what to ask for. But like, where is it, just like based on historical data?
Or? Yeah, that, and then you get compared to every other contract in the NFL. Wow. So it's very set in stone as far as what position you play, how much you're basically able to make. For example, quarterbacks, like nowadays, if you're a top quarterback, you're going to be making 40, 50, 60 million a year.
So they're the most valuable.
Yes. Wow. Okay. A year. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. Getting 60 million.
Crazy. Now, how much of that do they get to keep? Because let's say it's $10 million a year.
Right.
Aren't there people taking like 20% here, 10% there, then it's taxes?
Yeah,
and
I'm in
down.
California, so we know how all that is. You know, so I'm paying state tax. So, yeah.
But don't you live here, but you were
transitioning here, yeah. But the thing is, our salary is W-2, right? So we get paid on, we get to pay taxes in whatever state we play in. And so can't get away from it. Yeah.
So how is it divvied up? So on like on 10 million, let's just say.
Yeah.
Do managers take like 20 or like so lawyers?
Typical, yeah. It's our agent or attorney. It takes 3% of the contract. Mm-hmm. So it's okay. Still low. And then there's some union dues in there as well. And then obviously taxes, which, so I'm paying over 50% in taxes.
Right.
And then just fees. Because of California, too.
Gosh, so you'll be left over with about 40%.
Probably at the end of the day, yeah.
Net after tax. It's still a lot of money.
But, yeah, absolutely.
But you got what, like $6 million up front, right?
Yeah, so I had a signing bonus, which means, hey, they're going to give you X amount when you sign the paper, boom, within the next month.
And then they pay you monthly.
So, yeah, no, that right now they play us weekly.
Oh, weekly.
So we actually just moved from we play 17 games. So they moved for us from a 17-game pay schedule to a 34.
Wow.
Because guys were going broke.
No way.
Yeah, because, well, you got to think. A lot of us are really young, don't really have educations in finance or know how to manage our money. And here's $1 million+. Here you go at 21. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there someone there when they give them the money and be like, hey, there's this guy at the door. Just go and talk to him.
I wish. But there's so many different personalities and there's so many of us, right? There's so many of us on a team. So we all have our different like people that we hang out with and trust.
And just for context, everyone knows, you were born in 1995, right?
95, yeah.
That's amazing. So
26.
That's insane.
Oh, my
that's
gosh.
Insane.
I was born in 95.
Hey. Jeez. Let's go.
When I was 26, I think I was making like 50K a year.
Yeah.
Dude, jeez, that's insane.
Yeah, man. I mean, I was going down that route too. I really thought I had an internship. I went and worked for this oil and gas company called Noble Energy.
I heard of them. Yeah.
Yeah, Noble. Yeah. They just got bought by, I think, Exxon.
Somebody, yeah. Yeah.
Sounds right.
But yeah, I had an internship, I had a job offer, and my recruiter was actually a really big football fan. And I was like, I really want to take the job because it's like a great paying job. Like, it was my education. It's what I went to school for. It was like, I have an opportunity to go kind of live this dream, right? That I can only, I never even thought about. I thought I was going straight into that work, but I kind of was like, hey, like, let me go try this opportunity and I'll come back if it doesn't work out.
And the crazy thing is, you beat the odds when it came to high school, the college situation, NFL six player on the depth chart. And then also your size. You're not the typical, NFL running backs, probably what, 5'11", 220-ish?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
That's probably like the ideal size. And so what are you about?
Yeah, I'm 5'8".
5'8", okay.
5'8", and then
I'm 5'7". I'm going to
Yeah, you can play in the league. Tell me about your acrobat career. Yeah, so dude, I know you got the
backflips.
Just imagine you backflipping into the touchdown.
Yeah, I would just get ripped apart.
Dude, these guys are huge. Like, have you seen some of the Raiders guys?
I've seen those videos, dude. How are you surviving?
How are you surviving?
You know, we talked about it, like the P for P, like the
tell us about that. You got the nickname of P for P, pound for pound.
Basically, in high school and even in college, like, I just fell in love with working out. Like, that was another way for me to get away from the ranch life, which I just I just did not like it. It wasn't for me. And so I would always be in the weight room, and then I started to have this group that would come with me. And then we just became like bros in the weight room, and it was just like our social just place to be. And that stayed with me all the way up until my college and pro career. And then at that point I was just extremely strong and dense, right? And so that's just helped me like stay fit, honestly, and you know, be able to take hits from these big guys, because I just have the strength to actually like take on these impacts. But it's become part of my lifestyle, just working out. That's where you see all the videos and stuff like that.
I saw a video. I don't know if it was with GQ or another video where you were telling people your workout regimen, but it was insane.
What is it?
I mean, so usually during the year, people work out like 2 to 3 times a week, like just because our bodies are sore. And for me, just because I've worked out for so much for so long, I go 4 times a week. Mm-hmm. And like literally that day after the game, I'm heavy squatting. Usually like 400, 500 pounds, like wow. Like squatting, you know, like legs are still sore, but it's just insane. Like people are like, how do you get soreness out? I'm like, I squat, like go squat, like, you know, yeah. And then you get a day off after that, hit some upper body, and then day off, lower body.
Wait, so how much do you weigh real quick?
198.
198. Yeah. So squat 500.
Yeah. So yeah, that's insane.
Pretty thick.
He's a thick boy.
Dude. But dude, the guys that are hitting this man.
Yeah.
I mean, the D linemen, we're talking 300 plus.
No, right? I know. I've seen
that. And the linebackers are like 250 and they run like 4.5.
Is there a secret or a trick that you do to brace yourself? Or like how does...
Absolutely. Like to play this game this long, like I've been playing since I can ever remember, you know, playing. You learn how to get hit. Like, it's just like, you know, Graham, you've been boxing. Like, yeah. You learn how to, like, you know, protect yourself, right? And it's the same thing with football. Like, you're getting an impact. You, like, my run style is actually very unique, too, because I run, like, basically so low to the ground, which is actually an advantage for me because I can get hidden and actually protect myself.
Behind
like,
the linemen.
Yeah, right? But you see with bigger guys, like, they'll get their knees hit. And, like, if you can protect your knees, you can play a lot longer. But so mm-hmm. That kind of works out for me.
Oh, yeah. No, I saw you said that the average NFL career is 3 years.
It's like 2.9.
That's why crazy. Is it just because people get cut so fast, or is it injury?
Oh, they both.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. What's up?
Another secret that he has is that he uses FTX, our sponsor.
There we go.
I was so confused for a second, but Alex FTX is good. Is a place where you can buy, sell, track, and trade a multitude of cryptocurrencies all in one place with fees that are up to 85% lower than the top competitors. They have no minimum fixed fees and withdrawals, and no gas fees on the top Ethereum and Solana collections.
Yeah.
And use referral code MMFTX to get free crypto with your first trades through the app.
You should tell him about Sam Bankman-Fried.
Sam Bankman-Fried's the man. He's given away 99% of his wealth, and he lives in the Bahamas, living the life, living the good life. He's the man. We need to have him on. Sam, you need to come on. We'll have you next week.
Oh, I would love that.
Just fly out to Vegas. You'll be here in a snap, and we'll have you on.
Crypto-friendly Democrat.
There's also a crypto-friendly debit card that's accepted throughout millions of merchants worldwide. And you get free crypto on every single trade you make over $10. So I'll show you just how easy it is. All you got to do, Jeremy, if you want to buy Bitcoin, you just click the buy button. How much should I buy? How about just
$50,000.
$69.
Okay, you know what? I'll buy $69 of Bitcoin right now. Just type in $69. That's easy. I click review. And then slide to submit. And order filled, and let's see the free crypto I got. I earned a Shiba.
Wow.
A sheep. I got one sheep.
Wow.
Right there.
Congratulations.
So I thought you were going to buy $69.420 worth.
That would have been awesome.
Anyway, there you go. I got a sheep. So if you guys want to be a part of it, it's super easy. The link is down below in the description.
So fun fact for everyone, I've been following these guys for a while. So this is actually pretty cool for me to be involved in this. So appreciate y'all having me on.
That's cool.
That's so cool. Yeah.
How did you spend your first million?
Roll it. Yeah, so I did this GQ with how I spent my first million. Yeah. It was actually really cool because they bring on like $1 million in fake
the
money.
The stacks
and
of money.
And like, oh, wow, like it's like a huge stack. Like you don't really realize that when it's in your bank, right? But really it went to the basics at first because I gave my truck to my little brother. He was going off to college and I knew I was going to be making some money if I made the team. And so I was like, all right, I'll just buy a car if I ended up making it. So for like the first like 6 weeks, I'm just Ubering around. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing I bought after I made the team was a car. This car I still have today from 6 years ago. I'll drive it.
Is it the
ground.
Chrysler?
Yeah, the Chrysler.
Yeah, I saw it. Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, no,
no Mercedes. When you want to buy a G wagon?
No. Wait, did you get the C8 yet?
I did get the CH. Yes, it came in. That was before I got that. Yes.
That's sick.
So, you like it? I love it, man.
No.
So,
what is it? The
CH. I did treat myself to a Corvette. Yes.
Dude, that's the one I want to.
Yeah.
There's like no allocations for it, and I don't want to pay like 50 grand over ass.
Yeah. There's like the mid engine one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, is that the one that sounds like the Italian car version?
I put a new exhaust on
mine. Oh, you put a new exhaust.
Yeah,
cool.
Mine. Yeah. We'll make it wake up the neighbors. I like
it. Is it convertible?
Yeah,
well, that's sick. Yeah,
I had to go to convertible. The coupe, and then take off the roof. I just wanted to push a button.
Yeah,
you know, so waited a couple extra months for that.
That's cool.
It was worth it.
That's cool.
So that, and then I bought my mom a truck as well because she'd been driving the same van since I was in high school, which was broken down. Mm-hmm. And then everything I just dumped into real estate. Oh, you know, that's when I actually started watching your videos, and then started. Just
you said you have like a 27 unit. Or how much?
No, I don't have a 20. I have 30 units total now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And actually, jeez, we actually just started a real estate fund to purchase a bigger property out in Kansas City, Missouri that has 65 homes.
So like a syndicate or?
No, it's straight up a fund. Yeah, it's not a syndicate.
What do you mean by a fund?
So we started a fund. I didn't buy
You're just pooling fund. Money together
so
with
pool
your
of money,
buddies?
Pooling or? Money. Actually, the guy that I bought my first. So let me back up. So I bought a rental like right after my first year because my mom was a real estate agent. She moved out of teaching, and I met to know this house flipper, and he was flipping some multifamily houses. And I was like, hey, if you're going to be flipping multifamily houses, like I'll come right behind you and buy them. If you just give me like a deal on them. And so I ended up buying three from him, at a discount. And then later, like a couple years later, I started accumulating more, just had more connections in the space and built my way up to 30. But he came back to me and he's like, hey, I have a deal and I'm trying to go bigger. And I was like, yeah, I have guys that are willing to invest and I trust you as far as what we've been working through for over the years. And yeah, he found a deal out in Kansas City, Missouri, hit cold calling. It was a mass foreclosure. Ended up getting a really good deal on it. And now in the current stages right now of flipping those into rentals.
Got it.
That's amazing. As far as other NFL players, like, what are they doing with their money? Crypto, stocks, real estate, nothing?
Yeah, actually, it was funny. Crypto's last year, but it's not like an actual investment. It's like, oh, look how much my Shiba Inu, right? look how much is up. Like, they're in the meme, ones. So it's not necessarily, I feel like it's not necessarily a deep talk if we get into it. Unless it's like
really
like gambling, kind of.
Wow.
Thing.
Do you see a lot of frivolous spending in the NFL? Because I know you mentioned you were like, oh, some guys are spending like 300 grand on a chain, and it's like,
yeah, is that, literally, people that have happens? A house on their chain. On
oh
chain
oh on my
their,
gosh!
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Their neck.
That happens.
Oh yeah, that's a real thing.
Wow.
And that's I'm just like, guys, you knuckleheads. Like, you realize like when you're done playing, you don't get these big checks anymore.
Yeah.
Unless you find something to start it up, which is very hard to sustain this type of income.
Yeah.
You know?
What do they think when they do that? Do they think it's going to last indefinitely? Do you talk to them and tell them? And
probably
they're just like, it's so far in the future. I could do another 10 years.
I mean, it's hard to tell people what to spend their money on. Mm-hmm. And especially just, like I said, knowing people's background. And I think there's like this persona that people try to like match that they see of like this glam and things like that. Mm. And it's
I could see that.
It's just part of the lifestyle, as some people say. And it ends when your career ends if you try to live it and get too deep into it.
Yeah. And I mean, a lot of NFL players grow up dirt poor. You know what I mean? Oh, like, not like middle class poor,
right.
Like dirt poor. And so you finally get some money, you want to spend it, man. You want to go get that car. So, like I kind of understand it, as frustrating as it is and it's kind of annoying, it's like, I get it.
I guess it's true that pro athletes do like blow a lot of money really fast.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
What's the most reckless thing that you've seen?
The most reckless thing
financially,
that
like, buying $1 million car or something like that.
Somebody put $1 million in Tattoo Chef call options that expired the next month.
They went $100,000 worth of silver.
$100,000 worth of silver.
I don't even know if I can answer that because it's not a topic that we talk about.
Wow. Like, why is it so like that, though? That's weird.
So money's not
discussed, you're saying?
No, money is not discussed.
Wow. I feel like
not
in the
all.
Locker room, that would be one of the biggest. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I'll turn any subject into a money subject.
Me too, yeah.
I'm like, if we're not talking about money, what are we talking about here, man?
I think it's because of our educational backgrounds.
Yeah, it could be.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, so we're like having an intelligent conversation about finances. Yeah. It's not really something that's common.
Yeah.
So what is talked about?
What's
in
going
the
on?
Locker
what's the
room.
Trends?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's going on? You see that video on TikTok? Like the Island Boys.
The Island Boys.
Finance or Island Voice? All right.
Just some nonsense, man. Like, I mean, some deeper conversations too, just about life. You know, I feel like I'm a really passionate guy when it comes to like just what I'm trying to do outside of football and setting up my career after. So I have some really deep conversations with my coach. So it's,
that's good.
It's the whole spectrum of stuff besides finance.
So also NFL is super stressful. Yeah. So you kind of almost want to get away. Like, you know, to some people talking about money is a stressful subject to us. Like we love talking about that, but to everybody, you know, some people it's like, that brings on more stress. You got every guy trying to take your spot out there. You know what I mean?
Wait, so Austin, do you ever like wonder or just think about how come you grew up being so oriented and being so like cognizant of money management and other people aren't? Is it like your background growing up? Were you poor or were you on the wealthier side? Were you middle class? Like what drove you to be aware of it?
We weren't poor, but we definitely didn't have, you know, excess amounts of wealth. We had enough. My mom was a teacher and, you know, her ex-husband did very well, but he just wasn't educated as far as like how to manage money. Like he was still had like huge amounts of debt compared to his income. And I saw what that did to our financials. And I think that's what kind of like put the financial piece into me.
That's interesting. So you saw them go through financial struggle and you're like, I don't want to go through that.
Yeah, well, my mom was paycheck to paycheck, you know, the public schooling system, working as a teacher, like you're not getting paid much. And then my stepdad didn't really like care for me all that much either. So it was like just me and her really. And like she took care of me as much as she could. Right. But it was like, okay, like if I ever get into a place, it wasn't even more about money. It was just I want to just set myself up in a place where I can just take care of my life and take care of my family. So that the money aspect plays a part into that.
Yeah. But you know what's crazy? Like I feel like a lot of people, especially when they get pro and like when they become pro, they've had rough lives. Like they've had lives where they were challenging economically, you know, financially, all that. But like what separated you from, like, I wonder what experience, because I felt like that experience is probably shared by a lot of people growing up, pro athletes. Like,
yeah.
You know, where we're like, we go through struggles. Like what is that little experience that makes you go, you know what, when I get that money, I'm going to invest. I'm going to be smart about it.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
And it's definitely something to do with like my mind and like how I'm putting myself in a direction, but I couldn't tell you. It's a whole bunch of conditioning, right. Mm-hmm. That I've gone through, you know, as far as just how I was brought up in life, right? It's my childhood. I can't explain it all in one point.
Yeah, it's so impossible. Like it's impossible to quantify what it is. I've always wondered that. Mm-hmm. Like, because you didn't grow up exactly like a poor Graham. Like, your dad was he was an Imagineer, right?
Animator.
Animator for Disney.
He did storyboard. Right? Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, but they were not paid a lot of money for the storyboard. Mm. There's so many stories about them being overworked and earning very little compared to like what these movies were generating. So even though they're like big movies, storyboard artists were not exactly the most appreciated.
And then Jeremy, your background is pretty normal too. Like
we were really poor when I was super young, but then we made it to the middle class when I was probably like 12, 13. Mm-hmm. So I got to see like that come up of like going from poverty and like food stamps and like that type of neighborhood to, you know, middle class. And when I moved to middle class, I thought I was rich, man. Like literally, like my parents got a new Tahoe and like we moved into a house that was like $200,000. I thought we were rich.
Do you ever remember growing up and you see that kid with the PlayStation? You're like, dude, that guy's rich.
Yeah.
I'll go over to my friend's house.
Yeah,
that dude has both a Nintendo 64 and a PlayStation.
Yeah, I know. And then you get exposed to some other people, and you're like, oh wait, no, we're not rich. Oh, and then there's like another level, and it's like, wait a minute,
keep
what?
Going up, man.
It's like, what is going
keep
on?
Going
here?
Up.
I've also met wealthy people, and I'm sure you have too. That came from affluent backgrounds that are also intelligent with money. Mm-hmm. So it's like it.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is. I'm always trying to find it though.
Oh no, for sure. Graham, did you have any pro athlete? You know. Clients back in the day in LA?
I did.
Okay.
LeVar Arrington.
LeVar Arrington. Yeah, outside linebacker. Ones,
yeah. Okay, look at this guy.
Oh, yeah. You know, I know everything about every player in the history of the NFL. No, it's funny. We were talking the other night, and Austin was saying he wasn't that into, you know, like watching football and things like that. Me, however, I remember we talked about this like a week or two ago. I knew like the second string players, the third string players, like 40 times everything. But I played football for 5 years, and I don't think I realized it till senior year. I hated playing football.
No kidding.
But I thought because I loved watching NFL Network and playing Madden, and like I thought I would love playing football. And I played for 5 years, and I was like, I don't actually like this.
Why?
Like,
I don't know.
I think because I liked being entertained by watching football, I thought, oh, I would like playing it. Mm-hmm. And I never had fun. We could win games. I could score touchdowns. Never had fun. Strange, man. And you would think, oh, you know, you would love doing it, but I never liked it. So,
no,
but you're opposite. He didn't watch football, and there he is in the NFL. It's incredible.
I didn't watch the NFL until late. I said, my junior year of college.
That's incredible.
I still, like, the only games I really watch is like playoff games or like our scouting, like who our opponent coming up.
Yeah.
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 So what's your plan after the contract ends, this next one?
Yeah.
Is the goal to get the biggest one as long as possible? Is that?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely a goal, right? Okay. But there's reality. I take it a year at a time, right? And so, you know, Jeremy and I were talking the other day at dinner. It was like, I'm getting ready for that. Like, that's why I've started my, you know, real estate portfolio. I'm starting to build an app right now. So getting into other avenues, have some startups I'm invested in, and then I have my financial team that manages the most of my money because I'm not an expert, right?
Yeah. So, interesting. Let's back up. You have a financial team that manages your money.
Yes. So the majority of it.
Okay. How do they manage it for you? Do they ask you what your risk tolerance is? Like, what do you like? You like real estate?
So they're like, basically when we sat down, they're like, okay, with this money that you're giving us here, like, what is this supposed, what's the purpose for this in the future? And basically I was like, okay, because they have a majority. I'm like, this is money that I don't want to touch. I just want it to grow. Like let it go. Right. Mm-hmm. And so there's some structured products, there's some mutual funds, there's some individual stocks. It's like diversified all over the place. Okay. But it's like money that I'm not even coming to. And then I have money that I have in my bank account that's more so for like my app, for real estate, for other opportunities.
So you know how it's allocated, like 100%.
I mean, as far as the main like buckets, yes. Mm-hmm. Not down to the specific product on like what the return is on it, mm-hmm. and like the actual like payout, things like that.
Do you know what the fee is?
The fee,
what their fees?
1%.
No. 1%.
Something
that's high. Yeah. I mean, that's normal. That's what the industry
normal,
standard is.
But it's high compared to like.
I just read an article by Warren Buffett. Well, not an article by Warren Buffett. Warren
Buffett. He's out there writing articles.
He's writing like medium articles.
Bitcoin, rat poison. No, but like,
don't go there.
don't offend Jeremy's idol. No, it's he was talking about he was chastising the financial managers for turning the stock market into like, you know, a casino, right? I'm sure you saw.
Yeah.
And he's like, man, nowadays people are paying financial managers to manage people, to lose money for people, like to lose more money than the people they're managing for could lose it. It's like, it's kind of interesting. So I don't know. I've never actually talked to a financial advisor, but like based on everything I understand, and maybe I'm ignorant, but like no one can outperform the market for you, like the general broad market.
They don't need
market.
To outperform.
No, they just need to collect their fees.
Well, a financial manager could just be a good in between, like a good medium between somebody like, the market's down, I want to sell it right now, and then be like, no.
Right.
Because you got to think like one or two mistakes like that, and they pay for themselves for like the next 20
That's
years.
That's true. If you could think about it like that.
Yeah, they're there to just kind of keep you in place. Because I've known a few over the years, and like the market's going down, they call their, you know, whoever's managing the money, and like, oh, should I pull out? No, you really shouldn't. Okay, bye. You know, and it's like.
Yeah. So it depends what they're investing in. They could charge 1%, put it in index funds that you could do yourself, and they're that buffer.
I'd be so curious to see that portfolio. Like how they're managing the risk.
They give you statements.
Yeah.
Do they email you the statements?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can break it down.
Let's break it down. Yeah. I would love to.
We could cover the numbers if you want, but like.
Yeah, no, we don't have to go over the number. We could talk about the fund.
Yeah.
And here's why it's invested in this.
I bet you that they have a target date retirement fund for him.
No.
You don't think they have a target date?
No, I don't.
No, I think target date?
No.
No.
I've never seen financial managers do target.
They don't pick those.
They like to do, like I told you, they like structured products. It's these products where it's like a multiplier on the S&P 500, you know, that has a floor that you won't realize any losses unless it drops below 30% over a year. Like there's these structured products that they like to get.
Like stop losses type of thing?
In a way.
Confusing.
Yeah.
The one thing that I saw I didn't like, we had someone from OnlyFans on the podcast, and her fund was managed by a financial manager. But then that financial manager was buying also other funds with really high fees.
Mm-hmm.
So she was paying like 1.5% to 2% on some of these funds. It was
do you think
insane.
They were in on it together, or do you think he was just clueless?
I think it was a she. No, I just think that's this. Typical
just and
a lot of people just don't really pay attention to the fees. I think that's what it
but
is.
But like as a fund manager, your job's to make sure you're not doing that, right?
No, you as a fund manager could pick another fund with a high fee. There's nothing against that.
Yeah. You mentioned OnlyFans, and I was thinking, yeah, I need to get in touch with Bad Baby, because she could single-handedly change the trajectory of every one of my stocks after a $50 million she made last year. Bad Baby.
At Parker, our purpose is simple. We want to make the world a better place. By working more efficiently. By using more sustainable practices. By developing better technologies. We keep moving forward. With each new idea, innovation, and partnership, we're one step closer to fulfilling our purpose every single day. To find out more, visit parker.com/purpose. Parker, engineering your success.
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Million?
Yeah, on 53
OnlyFans.
Million.
$53 million on OnlyFans.
It's crazy.
Oatly, Tattooed Chef, yeah. Honest. Yeah.
All right, guys, just pulled it up. Let's check it out.
Yeah, let's do it.
So, just click on like the marketing investment drop down.
All right, so Mark's investment.
Wait, could you put it right here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. First off, something more important. What iPhone is that, Mr. Eckler?
So I'm sponsored by Verizon, and that's the one they gave me. So.
Okay, because I'm like, I don't even know if that's the newest iPhone. And like, respect.
No, it's not. No.
I mean, starting running back in the NFL, and he's like, I don't need the newest iPhone. You know, like, yeah, respect, oh, man.
Yeah. So okay. So we are at. This is interesting. Blue Rock Total Income Plus Real Estate. Apollo Diversified Real Estate.
But Graham, can
you hold it like this?
There we go. We can see it.
It's so tiny. Yeah, it's so tiny. Okay.
What do we got?
Citigroup Global Markets. I don't know what I'd have to look up the expense ratios on this.
So they're just mutual funds.
Yeah. The highest one is Griffix.
1.72.
Yeah.
1.72?
Yeah. I mean, we knew that was going to be a high expense ratio on that one, though. But you're getting a 4.8% dividend yield. Yeah, looking through it, they're all somewhat high expense ratios. You could probably do better. Is it worth
it? Between 1.7 plus the 1%, he's paying 2.7 in fees.
On that one fund, though, but we knew the real estate always has high funds. But you could do something like VNQ, which is the Vanguard fund.
Yeah, no,
fund,
I know.
Which
those
is
are
like
great
0.1%.
One. Yes.
And then, I mean, real estate is really a tiny part of my
portfolio. Oh, you got some Apple and Facebook separately, too.
Yeah, they're in there.
There we go.
Some individuals in there.
I mean, the thing is, you could probably save about 1% of your portfolio.
Oh, you got some ARK.
Oh, boy.
ARK. That's the title of the video. Austin Eckler's all in
on ARK.
ARK Invest. Yeah. ARK Invest.
Yeah. I mean, you could probably save like 1% a year managing this yourself and just put it in like a Vanguard fund.
Yeah.
Like a global stock market index fund.
We better... hope whoever's managing his money is not watching this. They're gonna hate us.
He'd have to pull everything out.
Gonna put a hit out on us, man.
But yeah, so you'd be incurring whatever tax liability by selling, moving it to another fund.
Yeah.
But you would be saving probably 1% a year.
Yeah.
Which adds up.
Absolutely.
So and that's compounds too. Mm-hmm. So it's like 1%. It's gonna grow. I don't know.
And then the market crashes, and we all look like idiots.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I never want to suggest doing anything, and then I there's egg on my face because it's like right after it's like the market just crashes.
Yeah, that's the only thing.
So probably better you do your own research.
Yeah, because we're not financial advisors. Let's be very clear about that.
Players don't talk about this. Like, imagine us trying to talk about this. Oh, bro, you got to get in this thing. Let me show you this SQB125. You know, like,
City Bank Global,
you got to get this.
What's your expense ratio?
I don't know what it is, but man, it's up 20% this last year.
Nice. I feel like Bitcoin would have to be big in the NFL
community.
Oh,
do you have
crypto? Yeah, Bitcoin is
okay. Because isn't there some players that are like taking their salary in Bitcoin or something?
I've heard of one. Yeah, I forget who, but.
Yeah, yeah. The first guy that actually did it was my old roommate. His name is Sean Colkin. He was a tight end for for the Chiefs for a little bit. He doesn't play anymore, but yeah, he's huge into Bitcoin, like speaks on panels and stuff about
it. Do you have any crypto?
I don't have any crypto. I'm still very just like unsure. I'm like, I just don't know.
Blasphemous. Don't know.
Yeah. All right, it's time for me to show you what I brought here today. Right. And since we have Mr. Eckler on, I found this at an old house recently, and I figured I'd bust this out. Ridge Football 2007, baby. We're gonna
yearbook.
The football yearbook. So, let me bust out a photo of me here where I look cut and ripped. Oh wait, I'm on one of these pages. Oh, there I am, 6'1".
No way, that's
so
you?
Still grew. Yeah, 6'1". They lied about my weight. I was probably about 160 pounds.
It doesn't look like
pounds.
Jeremy at all.
Really?
Whoa.
Can you get a transformation on that? You got a really good thing.
Dang.
Okay, I see a little bit, yeah.
Okay, you're going to have to put that up.
Look at that Miata, though. Straight up, that's a Miata right here.
Oh, really?
Wait, yeah, dude.
Oh,
right here.
That's crazy. Wow.
Receiver and DB, huh?
Yeah, supposedly. And 6'1", so I kept growing after high school. Wow. Apparently.
So you were like, oh, no, this is a 6'6", dude.
I know. Yeah, and I don't know if they might have to put it up to the
what's like the average height of the NFL?
You know, we'll take a picture.
Oh, it's all over the place.
Over 6'6".
Like 6'2", 6'3".
Yeah.
Oh, I got the best picture, okay? Now, Austin, tell me if you saw him coming after you, you just slide down, right? That this? Man right here? No, right here,
man.
Oh,
you're talking about the Jack guy.
That's what I thought, too. You're playing there.
Oh, this guy, like, yeah. Hey, yeah, that guy's
intimidating. Run the other way.
Oh gosh!
Oh, I know. You look at this man actually deliberately flexing, I know.
The, flexing
triceps.
The tries. Yeah. Oh gosh, so cringe, man.
Is that you? You're
yep,
the
that's me. No one wants a piece of him, man.
Right there, baby.
No. Yeah. Oh my gosh, you are doing.
Oh man, I need to get
what
back.
Happened, Jeremy?
What happened? Money.
Jeez.
Oh gosh. I but anyways, that's what I brought today. So
awesome. Okay.
That's yeah, cool. That's my book for the day. So but anyways, it crazy. So I mean, I had a good friend you know in high school. His name is Giorgio. He was a running back. And man, he tried everything to make it and just, you know, couldn't ever make to the league. He tried out at ASU, you know, as a walk-on, couldn't quite make it. And man, he was so fast. He was agile. He had strength. But that's a good example of, like, how hard it is to make it to the league. And so, yeah. Like, ultimate respect to Austin, you know, for going through all you went through and to make it, man.
Austin,
it's crazy.
Is there any aspect of – I know you worked hard, but is there any aspect to making it to the league – that requires luck.
Oh, here
absolutely.
We go again.
That's the luck game.
He said
okay.
Absolutely.
How much,
he
said, how much would you equate to luck this is versus when it gets skill?
Spicy.
No. Right.
No.
Elaborate.
Right, yeah, so right. The luck is like a small factor, you know, but it ends up being big over time.
Mm.
Right? Because, well, in my industry, injury is probably the leading cause of not going on to the next level or not continuing your career. Well, why you stop is because you get injured, you know? So... there's a luck factor as far as, you know,
not being injured,
someone not falling into your leg in an awkward position.
How about
understanding your talent and actually like not overlooking you. Like there's a lot of people that get overlooked and just don't get an opportunity.
That's crazy. Right? So you could be good, like incredibly good, or at least molded to be, and you could be overlooked.
If you're incredibly good, you're probably going to get noticed. But it's the guys that are good that even if they had some more development and some more time and just they needed that extra, you know, coaching, but it wasn't there because they weren't noticed, then that's where kind of the luck kind of plays into, right?
What about being, like, I guess, noticed by a recruiter as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's part of it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, for me, like, I had barely anybody come and talk to me. It was all tiny, tiny schools, right? And I was destroying my entire, you know, conference. Like, I was number one in everything. And so...
like, you get some bad luck, you get some good luck.
Exactly. Yep. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up actually one of the reasons I got a notice because one of my best friends, who's a long snapper for the Raiders here, actually, we graduated, but he had D1s coming to and talking to him. And so we had people coming through. And then so put me on the radar for some coaches, but it just wasn't the bigger schools, it was the smaller ones. So they would come to talk to him, but then also talk to me at the same time.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, for running back, you know, for instance, like you're counting on those dudes up front to block.
Right.
And I don't know if you had early in your career when you hadn't made a name yet. Did you have a certain run that the line just blocked perfect and you got to just run through that and get a big touchdown or anything like that?
In high school, like I was just bigger and faster than people. Mm-hmm. Like I was basically the same size I am now, but I was just so elusive. Like it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
it really honestly.
No, I meant with the Chargers specifically. Oh, with the Chargers? Yeah. So, like at a preseason game or anything like that.
So a big thing is special teams, which is there's offense, defense, and then in between is special teams. Mm-hmm. And so that's usually what the backups are playing on. And so I was on the scout team, which basically does like practice cards for the special teams, mm-hmm. You know? So I'm giving a look, what we call a look to the backups. Right, and that's where I got noticed, was giving practice reps to the backups, because I was showing them, like, you know, mm-hmm. like, okay, you're supposed to go down and run on this line, follow the line. And I was just absolutely untouchable. Like, no one could stop me, no one could block me. And I was just, boom, out of a cannon, right? And so that started to put me on the radar, like, oh, this guy has raw talent as far as speed, agility, things like that. And, like, let's see if he can play offense as well. And then, actually, preseason did well, but my like standout run, I think, was my first ever carry, like my first ever handoff in the regular season after I made the team, was a 34-yard touchdown.
Wow.
Made a dude miss, boom, sprinted all the way down, outran everybody to the end zone. That was my first ever carry.
Dang.
Yeah. And so it was insane. It's like one of the most memorable moments I have. I just remember screaming and just like getting teary. I was so emotional because I was like, finally got in the game on offense and I scored a touchdown. And so it was a really special moment.
When you bust off a big run, do you look back, like, see, is there a flag? Is that happen? Like,
no, absolutely.
Okay.
Like, that's the most devastating thing. You score a touchdown and you look back, you're like, oh,
it's coming back.
So hard to score in the NFL.
Yeah.
So hard. So yeah.
But you had a lot of touchdowns last year, did you?
I had most in the league.
What?
I led the NFL.
No.
Leading scorer.
What are you talking about? Dude, what? Hey. I knew you scored a lot of touchdowns, but I didn't know it was that many.
Yeah, 20 touchdowns. And then,
oh my gosh.
So there's another running back. His name's Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah.
He also scored
for the
20.
Colts. Yeah.
But I scored two-point conversions, so I beat him out of points.
Wow. There we go. Oh my goodness. Wow.
Man. Yeah, man.
That's how you get on the MVP watch for next year.
That's right.
Watch out for the man, okay?
That's so cool. That's so cool.
Yeah.
I saw some comments in one of the YouTube, I think the GQ video, that was like, I love this guy. He won me the fantasy football.
Yes. Fantasy, do you know what fantasy football is?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. So like, it's like, I don't understand why guys don't pay more attention to fantasy football. It's like mm-hmm. having a giant opportunity in front of you and just saying like, I don't like it because some people are mean in there.
Exactly. It's, like, it's probably the stress of it.
I'm
think
just like, you guys, like, I've had so many opportunities because I gave love to the fantasy football people. So I'm mm-hmm. big into community, just engagements and really hanging out with fans and showing my appreciation because of where I came from, a small town where no one wanted to hang out with me. Now just people are like, hey, can I get a picture? And I think that's so special. Mm-hmm. And so I try to do my best of just making every moment that someone comes up and meets me special. And so I started giving more attention to the fantasy football community because it's honestly probably the reason the NFL is as big as it is today, because people get so engaged in their fantasy football teams. But I have more fans on from fantasy football than I do for playing on the Chargers. Like more, I get like 10 to 1 people are like, oh, I had you on my fantasy team. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so like it's just millions of people that are playing this. And so I literally started a show with Yahoo mm-hmm. because I just started giving love and showing people. And like I did a jersey giveaway for people that had me on their fantasy team the entire year. Every week I did a jersey giveaway. And so it's just like huge opportunity. I wish more guys would get involved in it. And if you have me on your fantasy team, shout out to y'all. I appreciate y'all.
That's cool. Yeah, and he's extra good on fantasy, not just because of touchdowns, but if you're in a point per catch league. Basically, Austin catches a lot of balls. I don't know where you rank, catches for running backs. I assume it's pretty darn high.
Second last year.
Yeah, yeah. So he's getting rushing yards. He's getting rushing touchdowns. He's getting a lot of catches. And if you're in a point, you get a point for every time he catches the ball. He's getting receiving yards, and he's getting receiving touchdowns.
Yeah, you want me on your fantasy team?
Yeah. Some running backs, they don't have hands, so they just going to run the ball. Right. He can catch it or
so
run it.
So what does a normal day in the life look like for you?
League of Legends.
No. I'll get a few games in here and there. Right. But wake up right now. So now work out in the mornings.
Like what time? What time do you wake up?
7:30.
Okay.
So nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Right now, so we have OTAs, which is organized team activities. And so I'm not there, so I just call in. So wake up 7:30, 8 o'clock. I'm on meetings for an hour till 9, work out at 9. Today I had a call for my foundation, and it's just like the team that I have put together for my foundation. And on, depends on what day it is, but on a day like today, we'll have our, like, basically set my schedule up for the week with my assistant and my media people. So I have like a little team built around me, and then we'll film some up until, I don't know, like right after lunch. will break. Everyone goes and goes and does their own thing. And then I'll start working on like my app with the development team and just kind of just talking to them, just making sure everything's going well. Maybe shoot some more content. And I'm actually going to be starting up a podcast as far as to get some content around it and build up a community. And then usually throw in some video games here and there. And then wind it out. If my girlfriend's in town, I'll hang out with her then and maybe go to the driving range, hit some balls and stuff.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And what brought you to Vegas? You said you're making the transition here?
Yeah. So, taxes was one, because I can't get away from it for football, but I can get away from it from endorsements, and my endorsements have been skyrocketing in the past 2 years. And then one of my attorney, my business partner, and became my best friend over the years, one of the guys that believed in me from day one as far as my college career all the way up until the pros, represents me, and so he lives here as well. I wanted to get closer to him too. Yeah, and he's my attorney for all my businesses. Because I have a little lamp company, the foundation, and then Experience, which is my app that I have. And he does all the legal work for all of those.
Now, for a person who's looking together to put a team of cool individuals around them to help them, do you pay them out or do they take like a percent of what you do?
No, I pay them out.
You pay them out.
Yeah. And so if you are going to be getting some type of equity, then yeah, you have to bring a substantial amount of value as far as like, you have to have an expertise that I don't have, or that's not cheap to go get somewhere else. Like, and so I do have people that have like equity in, Experience, my app, just because I'm very new to all this.
What's the app about?
I was talking to Jeremy. He's like, you need to have a 10-second version. So I'll give you the 10-second version.
He went beast mode on it. He's like, okay, here's what it is. I was like, dang, man.
Our second's
like 5 minutes later.
Jeremy's some advice. Awesome. No, I like it. But long story short, it's an engagement platform that you can do different types of customized engagements. Things of signing stuff for your fans, video chats, gaming, social media experiences, and just different things. Giveaways, all in one spot.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it reminds me, because you had an idea of selling your foot pictures and signing them. I remember you wanted to do that for a while. Yeah.
I actually, no one bought this. As a joke, I put up my bathwater for sale.
No way.
I didn't know you went that far.
Yeah, I did that. No,
you did that?
Yeah. Why not? Listen, if someone pays fine, it's $5,000.
It's $5,000.
Yeah, I put a price. I'm like, hey, if someone pays me $5,000, I'd be stupid not to do that.
And have you got any offers?
No.
Oh. Zero.
I thought we peaked at last week with the whole wedding ticket thing. We just went
Why
haven't you made
grand?
Why haven't you made a YouTube video about this?
Because no one bought it.
I tried to sell my bathwater online.
No, because
that
no
could do well.
I need to sell. I need to sell one.
Maybe they don't know where it's been sold at. Where's it at?
What's up?
Where's it being sold at?
I think it's GrahamStephanStore.com.
Oh, okay.
But okay, so did you actually you took a bath, you bottled it?
No. It's made fresh. Andre, I'm not going
to. That's
made
what
fresh.
It's supposed to be. That's what gives it the value, though, right? You got to like take a bath in it, then you take your bath water.
Wait, so it's false advertising?
No, if someone buys it for $5,000, I'll take a bath.
Oh, you'll take a bath. All right.
This is so creepy, man.
Listen, if someone offers $5,000, come on. Like, obviously, he's going to do it.
Dude, I think I'm moving.
It's so easy.
It's
people,
the principle.
People take baths all the time, and they just drain it down.
I always like to push Graham. How far can we push Graham to, like, monetize something? Yeah. Like, would you take
it's in the spirit of business. I mean, it's just like you'd be a bad businessman if you turn that down.
Damn it, I'm a bad businessman, and I'll be a bad. Come on, Graham. No.
What?
I think you should make a video about it, though. I'm no one bought my bathwater. That would be entertaining.
Because it was put up as a joke. But if someone were to buy it, I'd follow through with it.
I'm going to buy it and send it to Andre's house and do it under his name. Just so it's like,
I bought Graham's bathwater. Yeah.
Andre's like, I did not buy it.
Let
I did not order
it.
I'm going to review it.
You're doing a product review.
Taste test.
Have it next to like Fiji water, Dasani, bath water.
Oh, man.
Dude. Austin's got ideas. He's like, after game, I'm gonna be sweaty. You want my bath water? It's 20,000.
My three
touchdown water, man.
I bet you seriously could sell your sweat. Like, no joke.
Like on a towel or something?
Yes.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Well, I saw this. It's funny. I was on Instagram Explore page. You know, you get all kinds of crazy stuff. There was one of somebody had a playoff game, and it was Steph Curry was like in front of him, and Steph Curry was like, talking to his kids, and he's like, Curry, come on, man. Let me get that towel. Let me get that towel. He was like begging for it, and everybody in the comment section was just killing him, like, oh man, this man's down bad. Like, begging for like this towel, this sweat towel. Like, come on. So,
it's got a value. It's got a value too.
Yeah, there's a bunch of super
$20, fans out there. $50, $100
for him. Someone that caliber, he's probably getting four figures from
that. It's easier to convince Graham that the bath towel has more value than Bitcoin originally. He's like, I don't understand why Bitcoin has value. He's like, but towels? What? But someone's gonna find value.
It's a joke. It's like, Andre, how much would you sell your shoes for? Like right now, you wore your shoes. How much would you sell them for?
It depends. Which ones?
The ones you wore today.
I like $40, $50.
Okay, but how much would you sell them for? How much would you put them up for sale?
I don't think I would.
So you're saying if someone offers you $20,000 for those shoes,
I mean that's a different story.
That's a different story.
I wouldn't be fishing for it.
It was funny. It's funny. It was at the time when Belle Delphine was doing the bathwater.
I remember,
thing,
yeah.
And I thought, well, if she's doing bathwater, I'm going to put it up as a joke.
If she could do it, I could do it.
$5,000. Someone does. So it's like, you know, why not put your shoes up for sale at $10,000 and just see, hey,
have you done that?
No. Alex, somebody actually made an offer to buy my shoes.
Yes.
$200.
Which ones?
I don't know.
Any
I think
used pair.
Any used pair of shoes. Now, I didn't do it.
Why not?
Because the shoes were worth, like, you know, 100. Yeah, 100 something. So it's like, you know, it's not worth it. The mm-hmm.
That's 100% return. Where are you going to find that kind of return?
Yeah, but I like
everything
the shoes.
Is relative.
I like the shoes.
100%.
I like the shoes. So
I'll have
you
guys know I had 6 to 8 people reach out that wanted to buy tickets to my wedding.
Really?
Yes. So tickets to your wedding?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Wait a minute. What?
Oh, dude.
Tickets to the wedding?
Come on! Don't make me relive that from last week. Oh no!
I got heat for that too.
I'll go watch that one.
Although I will say, after the bathwater thing, the ticket thing doesn't seem like that bad. Like, let's invite random people to a wedding now.
I got hate on it on Millennial Money, but if you go to Iced Coffee Hour, people loved it. It was so.
It's interesting. Yeah, because I think our core audience. Sees the business aspect. You're like, he's savvy, saving money, he's making money. Everyone wins. Millennial Money, on the other hand, they see that, that's bad.
Well, that's because Millennial Money, the people that watch Millennial Money got a lot of money.
No, I think
we got the rich crowd.
No, Iced Coffee Hour, we're financially sad.
Dude, Millennial Money has a more diverse
crowd. Iced Coffee Hour's entertainment.
There's a lot of crossover between the two, but it is more diverse. But anyway, the story was Alex is hosting a wedding. Alex has a wedding. And we were joking, and we said, what if you charge tickets to your wedding to pay for the wedding? To get 10 people in on the wedding, charge tickets to those 10 people, and it's like they become friends anyway.
And the idea that spawned it from was Graham charging like cover charges to come to his parties.
That was a joke.
Okay.
That was a joke.
And when we say party, we're not talking LA-type parties. We're talking about like a get-together.
Yeah, it's like a pizza party.
Where you sit around and talk about investing in business.
No. It started when I hosted like 15 people over 1,000 on the 4th of July, and the place was kind of messy, and I just asked, if you're going to leave, pick up 2 pieces of trash.
No, that's not where it started. It started when I was like, Graham, can we heat up your pool? You're like, no, that's cost money. I'm like, why did you have a pool? He's like, I can't. I was like, dude, it's like $2 to heat up your pool.
It's more than that.
It's what, $5?
No, to heat up a pool could be hundreds of dollars.
For one time.
Yes.
At a party.
Yes.
Wow, what kind of
hundreds
pool you got?
Of dollars?
Yes, do you not
aquarium.
Realize how expensive it is to heat a pool?
He does
hundreds
have one
of
those.
Dollars.
Oh, yeah, get a small one.
Yeah. There is no way it would cost hundreds of dollars to heat up your size pool.
Yes, it would.
You could have at least done the spa.
Prove that
the spa.
Prove that to me and I'll give you $100.
Ooh.
Yeah. Deal.
Okay.
Okay.
One time.
How are we going to prove this, though?
Okay, because don't use your pool for a month and then use it once to heat it up.
I've never heated it up.
You've never heated it up?
No.
Why'd you put one in?
What's up?
Why'd you put it in?
Because on the really hot summer days, you don't need to heat it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well, still. Yeah. No, that's true. But the heater, because the heater is an extra like $7,000. So you didn't have to put in the heater then. You could have saved yourself like $7,000 by not putting in the heater.
No, but on resale, you're not going to sell a pool without a heater.
Oh, yeah. Most pools don't have heaters.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Most pools in Vegas and Arizona. I came from the pool business.
But to be fair,
you came from the pool business?
Yes.
So you could tell Andre how much it costs to heat a pool.
Oh, one time. It's about $70.
No.
Yeah, unless it's like middle of winter and it's freezing and it's like 30 degrees outside or something. Yeah.
Okay.
Like if you heat it, you could heat your pool up right now to whatever. Right now, this time of year, yeah. I mean, maybe $40, $30.
No,
yep. Is that to
that pool's freezing? 100%. It's freezing.
No, it's not freezing.
Degrees. It's like 50 degrees.
I'm 100% sure that pool right now is probably about 69 degrees.
There's no way it's 69 degrees.
Yeah.
Okay, but to be fair, that was a 4th of July party, like for a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you got to chip in.
Yeah.
Chip in. You're trying to get.
I mean, that's fine. I said that. I was like, let's heat it up.
Yeah, I mean, we should have. That would have been amazing.
We're gonna find out the temperature of the pool very shortly.
Very shortly.
As soon as it
on Graham's
on,
Wi-Fi, it might be 4 or 5 minutes. So don't worry.
Very sure.
It's dial up AOL.
Hey, save the extra money for that dial up.
That is a business expense, Graham.
If Macy's on the phone though, it's gonna cut me off. So.
Oh, God, that's too funny.
But it saves $3 a month.
A month,
great
yeah.
deal. Compounded over the next 100 years.
Yeah,
we're talking about savings of like $15,000. So.
Hey, professional athletes. So, Var Arrington, who else did you have for his clients in L.A.? They were professional athletes.
Oh, probably a few. LeVar Arrington was okay. The one that stands out the most.
Anybody super famous you ever had as a client?
Yes.
Who?
Well, I've said it before. Chloe Moretz and Orlando Bloom.
Okay, Orlando Bloom. I heard that name. Where's he? What's he do? Or what's he from?
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, okay.
He's done quite a. He's done quite a lot.
And who's the female?
Chloe Moretz.
Chloe Moretz.
Yeah.
She was in several movies. She was a child actress and then transitioned into other roles as an adult.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if she's not at least third string in the NFL, I have no clue who she is. Like, she's just nobody. Right. Yeah, absolutely
so
nobody.
I'll give you this. It is 71 degrees.
Bam.
Okay.
Nice.
So it's
so you could.
Oh, no. Now it's 69. No,
even better.
You literally said 69.
I know my pools, man.
Look at this guy.
I know my pools. So, anyways, that would $30 to $40 is max. And you would heat that to 85. Yep.
85? 85.
Yep. $30 to $40. 100% sure.
85 seems hot.
Yep.
It's not hot.
85?
85.
I think 85 is perfect.
Yeah, 85.
Why is that hot?
Yeah.
You do ice tubs, right?
Yeah, rarely.
Oh, rarely? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, I do, right?
I figure after every game you'd be in the ice tub.
Only if I'm really hurting, which is like usually like week 12.
Mm. Ooh, that's when it hits.
That's
in,
when, the legs start feeling. Because we've been going, we go 4 weeks before. Well, we go 3 weeks before season, preseason, which is 3 weeks, and then you have 17 games, right? And then playoffs after that. So it's months of literally running and hitting every day.
But some players are in there, I would assume, after every practice.
Every day. Yeah, so that's another reason I don't get it. Because if you see the cold tub and the hot tub next to each other, you're like, why is that one so clean? And you see the hot tub, and it is disgusting.
Oh, gosh.
It is disgusting. Because guys get right out of practice, take their pads and everything off, and there's like 10
dudes. Dude, you're supposed to spray down. Come on,
there's like
10
dudes just hanging out in the hot tub straight out of practice. I'm like, yeah.
No.
I'm going to skip the hot tub.
You're not supposed to.
Oh, gosh.
There we go. At least 5K for that.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah.
It's an ETF.
Oh, 10 players?
Bro, it's an ETF.
They could probably turn that into an NFT, too.
Oh.
NFT linked to the water.
Right.
But now, what was it? A year ago, 2 years ago, you had a pretty serious injury?
Or yeah.
What happened?
2 years ago, shredded my hamstring.
Ooh, the hammy.
Yeah, so got in like this awkward position, like made this dude miss, and he like was falling down into my legs, and I pushed him down, and he like hit like my shin, and my leg just extended, and I kind of like bent over and put my hand on the ground and just tweaked it. It just went too far, right? It just bent over like to the point where it just pulled my tendon off my bone, and then I had to tear down the belly of it. And so, yeah, I was out for like 10 weeks after that. And
what's that like being out?
That was the first time I've ever been out ever, like for anything substantial. Like I've broken bones and stuff, but you just put like a cast and numb it up and just kind of go through it. And then so that obviously I can barely even walk.
Yeah.
Right. And so everyone that had been around me is like, yeah, don't come back early. Just don't come back early because hamstrings, like, just pull it again.
Yep.
You know, from track.
Yeah.
You can't mess around.
Yeah. Like a Suns game, Booker, he didn't pull his hamstring, but he like tweaked it a little bit and they left him out for a few games because it's like you can just keep messing up and then it's just.
And it's tough. Mm. It's tough too because psychologically, like, I just want to be with the team, especially. Yeah. It's the hardest when our team's losing and I'm watching them on TV and I'm just like, oh, like I can't help, you know? And I remember one night, we were losing to a team that we were much better than, and I just remember I was just pumping out push-ups because I was just so mad.
No,
come on, guys! Dude. Like I was just so mad.
Wow.
But yeah, luckily, yeah, that's been.
Do you ever lose a contract from that?
From
if
what?
You get injured, you're out for too long, and they could just cut it.
No. So we have things that protect us through our collective bargaining agreement that you can't do that. Basically, you go on IR, and they have to recover you until you're healthy. Then they can cut you.
Got it. Okay.
Or there's guarantees in some contracts too. So like, it just depends on the situation.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, injuries, the game is so violent. You know, we were talking about this over dinner and I don't think people understand it because you see it on TV and it doesn't look, but if you were actually on field level, like how fast everybody's moving and how hard people are hitting, it's crazy, man. And I mean, how many hits in a game do you take that you're just like, you really feel it, like, dang, this one.
I feel every single one.
Every single one, and you get up and you're like.
All these guys are at least 50 pounds heavier than me.
Wow.
Like, they're all huge.
Yeah.
Like, they're huge human beings.
Yep.
Right? And so I'm pretty much feeling every single one, whether it's just, like, a soft hit and he's driving me to the ground, or if I'm getting really, like, pile-drived or, like, hit by three dudes, like, and I have the ball in my hands, right? So I'm running for my life out there. You know? Running for my life.
Do you ever get mad if one guy pulls you down?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's like disrespect.
It's unacceptable.
Wow.
Yeah, we have a little little fine list in our running back room where it's like if you have a one-on-one and don't make a miss, then it's $100.
What?
Yeah, you get $100 credit.
Dang. Wow. Better be two or more bring you
down. If it's in the 25 and closer, then it's doubled. So
wait, can you nice. What do you mean bring you down?
So like I'm trying to tackle you, right? Yeah. And if I tackle you one-on-one, that's not a good thing. Like, you should be able to make me miss at the level that we're at.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But if there's two guys, then okay, now it's a little harder.
One guy's going up low, one guy
should never bring you down.
Oh.
Ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's the expectation.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how you make your money.
I feel like I've seen it all the time. These guys just one-on-one bringing.
Yeah, no, it happens. Defenders, they're good too. They get paid too.
Yeah.
But as far as if you're trying to like continue, like
have you ever jumped over anyone while they're trying to tackle you?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Speaking about professional athletes, Graham Stephan's going to step into the ring very shortly in less than 2 weeks.
Yeah, it is.
Whoa.
Next Saturday.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Getting nervous.
Are you really?
Yeah, no, it's really affecting me now.
It's really affecting you?
It actually is. Shoot. Yeah.
How long have you been boxing?
I started training in January.
Okay. I mean, that's a good amount of time.
But my opponent is Michael Reeves, started training late January. So I've got a month on him, but I think he's training more. So like I got an extra month, but he is more frequency. So I would say almost the same. I just don't know like where he's at or how much he's training right now. But I'd say it's pretty evenly matched, but I am, my stress level.
Okay,
so have you been sparring and everything?
I've been sparring the coach, so my trainer, but not somebody I don't know.
Okay.
And that comes up this week. Oh. So I'm going to be sparring someone I do not know.
Yeah.
Okay, so if he gets hit in the head hard, somebody that gets hit for a living, like what advice do you have to him if he, like how to keep his composure if he gets hit with one, man?
Have you been doing neck exercises?
No. What are we talking about for neck?
I mean, you always have to.
Yeah. I mean, for boxing, they used to put straight. You over the ring. Dude, I used to love the neck exercise machine in football.
That's a real thing?
Dude, yeah.
I don't know about that.
No, dude, we used to have one at the Mountain Ridge.
Are you sure your coach wasn't just messing with you?
5'8".
Wait a minute. Can we go back to what was that?
No, dude.
What? You're thinking. What
was dude,
my coach used to hang my neck over and punch me. It's like it's a special machine.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Where they put you in a headlock and they do
this.
This is a real thing?
Yes.
I'm concerned.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to pull it up here, okay? This is ridiculous.
No, I was just kind of joking about the neck exercise.
I'm going to pull it up.
It sounds like they're messing with you, man.
No, this is real life.
I have done it.
I'm just kidding.
Oh, were you really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you know that. He's like, kidding. Oh, no, I was kidding, too.
No, are you in like full headgear and everything?
For that, but apparently headgear makes it worse because it's a bigger target to hit. So they actually say it's better not to have the headgear.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Have you been boxing like before this? Like what? Like sparked this up?
You've never seen this?
Oh
man?
God,
Alex, you're gonna have to play this video. I'm gonna send this to you as well.
Yeah, text that to me.
Okay.
I'm not doing that. That's so bad,
dude. You know what this is?
You haven't been doing that?
Archaic stuff,
dude. Are you even training for your fight? What in the world?
Is that?
Are you training for your fight, man? This is like a must. Oh, and then you do them on the side.
No, never.
Isn't that training to lose or no?
No, this is training to win.
Oh my god,
dude, he's got a 25-pound plate on that baby. Oh my gosh, that might be a 35.
Yeah, and the guy's holding it down too.
Come on,
not doing that for boxing is like Austin not doing squats for football, man.
I'm curious about this though. Have you like you know your opponent? Like you know this person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So like, is a friend? Is this
friend
like a different
total friend?
No,
it's for it was for charity, and it was just something to put myself out of my comfort zone because I never say yes to it, and I thought I'm never gonna have this experience again, and if I live once,
that's great.
I'm gonna look back and regret not having done it. I'd always wonder, like, what if I said yes to this? How would my life be different? So I'm nervous.
No,
I'm just nervous about getting like hurt.
Yeah.
I'm not so nervous. Like, obviously getting in on a stage and having like people watch you is scary, but my thing is just like injury.
Yeah.
Like, that scares me more than anything. It's
I mean, you might get hurt, but the good thing about the body is it recovers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just don't get punched too hard.
Yeah. Protect yourself. It's more like a head injury.
Protect yourself.
Like that,
for sure.
That's what I'm more worried about is like if that even affects my work like 1% in the future, that's not worth it.
Now, are you incentivized to win financially? Like
no.
If you do, no, you're not.
No.
Okay.
No. There's no incentive other than bragging rights.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you thought about like what you would do if you won or if you lost? Like, would that affect you in any way?
If I won, I would never do it again. If I lost, I would never do it again. So either way, I mean, this is a one and done.
Well, you never know. You might like. I'm not saying you will, but if you do, you might want to just do it again, just to prove, you know,
everyone wrong. No. I've noticed. No, I actually really enjoy boxing, and I'll keep up the training, but not in a way to like fight somebody else. I think it's great exercise, and I really like it.
It is.
The issue you have is you're worried about getting injured.
Yes.
And I'm sure Austin will tell you firsthand, never worried about getting injured in a sport, you know, because he can't be out there running the ball and be like, oh, you know, I might get injured. You just got to go for it, man.
When you're in the moment, you don't even think about it.
Yeah.
I'm sure like when you're sparring, you're like, oh, I hope I don't get hit.
Yeah. When I'm sparring, I think that way. But
oh, really?
Yeah.
Sure. Okay. This is not good, man.
But when I'm sparring, it's all like, if I put my hands down, I get hit in the face.
Yeah.
And the trainer's very, agile, like every time I hit, pops to the face.
Yeah.
So it's like training to keep my hands up. So I'm always thinking like there's gonna be a punch coming.
Maybe that was the wrong verbiage. Maybe it's more so like know how to defend yourself. I guess this is the biggest thing, right?
Right.
Yeah. What's your strength? You're like right hook. Like you got a mean.
I'm still figuring.
He hasn't
it
punched
out.
Yet. Oh, okay. He's only worried about defense.
We're working on the stance right now.
Okay, the stance.
Foot
okay.
Yeah.
Confusing them with finance words.
Yeah,
exactly.
The week before the fight, that's when they're gonna try a jab.
Yeah, but you know what they were asking me? I had to give a. They want like a song, like you're supposed to go in with.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, gosh, what song? And so I just thought, what would be the funny thing to do? The Shark Tank music.
Oh, that is smart.
So I told them the Shark Tank music right when I walked. Up. I'm gonna go with that.
That's
seriously.
Smart.
I told them that today. Awesome. I couldn't buy them. It's like Shark Tank.
That's cool. Awesome. Well, if you want to win, you can't worry about getting hurt. That's my opinion. You got to just go for it. You got to go for the knockout.
No, I know.
You knock him out, the faster you don't have to worry about getting hurt.
Yeah, that's the thing. I feel bad because I like him and I don't want to hurt him.
No, you're boxing. You got to destroy that man.
Yeah, you got to get him, bro.
You ruin his life. Ruin that man's life.
Ruin that man's life.
You ever seen Rocky
IV?
You
or him.
Yes, it's either you or him.
Smash his head like you smashed the like button.
Now it's stressing me out again.
Oh my gosh, Chris.
I'm getting too anxious about this.
That's pretty violent, Is this public? Like we can buy tickets?
You could buy tickets.
Where do we buy tickets?
Ticketmaster.
It's here?
No, it's in Tampa.
Ticketmaster.
Yeah, you could buy tickets on Tampa. And then, or you could stream it online.
We're going to stream it online.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to cheer for
Andre,
you.
Andre, you should go to Tampa.
I'd like to. Yeah? It's just like, I can't travel.
Why?
It's like, you know, the schedule is so hard.
I know,
well,
but...
you managed to see Logan Paul, but you can't...
Yeah.
That's because I had a plan to do content.
Weren't you going to, like, the Bitcoin conference or something like that?
That's so cool. I had content.
Oh, you had content.
I didn't actually go for Logan Paul for the Bitcoin conference, yeah.
Do they have one of those every week in Florida?
Yeah, they do. Do they?
Yeah, pretty much. Hmm. It's just, it's at coffee shops and stuff like that.
Yeah.
every weekend is the Bitcoin conference there.
Just some rich guys that own a bunch of Bitcoin down in Miami.
The yacht parties.
Yeah.
Bitcoin? Me too.
Yeah.
Good talk.
You a Bitcoin bro or what are you even doing?
Like, that's all the conversations are. Just
you got them?
Yep, me too.
How many you got? Bitcoin millionaire? 21 of them or what?
Millionthaire.
Oh, millionthaire. That's what it is. Not millionaire. Okay. So... Anyways, we're going to root you on for your fight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Let's get it, man.
Thanks.
Let's go.
Yeah, and Austin, thank you for joining us. This has been phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I hope everybody goes and follows Austin on Instagram. That's probably where you're most active, social media, right?
Absolutely.
Instagram? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So make sure you follow this man on social media, Instagram. make sure you put them on your fantasy team or you'll always regret it. And other than that, this was a fun episode. Let us know if you guys enjoyed this episode. We'd love to hear from you guys as always in the comment section. Don't forget to smash. It's all very important. Very important. So we do appreciate you.
One lucky winner will get his bathwater.
Let's go.
Yeah, maybe I could sell the towel afterwards at least for the after the boxing match. Yeah.
And just I think the bathwater should be on display here.
What about your boxing gloves? Isn't that kind of cooler?
That is really cool. Actually.
I probably keep that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Is it souvenir?
Yeah. If I lose, I'll probably sell it.
Sell it? Yeah, exactly. I don't want to remember it.
I'll sell it. If I win, I'm keeping them.
Okay, that's fair.
So, anyway.
Sweet.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Wrap it up, Graham. Thanks. Wrap it up.
Make sure to subscribe and subscribe and subscribe again. Comment down below for the YouTube algorithm. Make sure to hit the notification bell. We go, we got a schedule now.
Yep.
Every Wednesday at 1 p.m. we're posting an episode, so if you want to be a part of it, notification bell. Thank you so much for watching, and until next time.
Peace.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.